This is You Make My Heart Beat Faster, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Waring Tearing and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated R and contains the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Post Stranger Things 4 Volume 2, 5 and 1 Things, Protective Steve Harrington, Possessive Steve Harrington, Jealous Eddie Munson, Possessive Eddie Munson, Marking, Love Bites, Minor Robin Buckley Vicky, Mild Sexual Content, Bottom Steve Harrington, Community All Bingo. Author's Notes. Written for All Bingo's Cotton Candy Bingo Fest for the prompt, Hiding the Hickeys. Sometimes we have to write what's in our hearts, and that's okay. Not Beta Red. Happy D-Face! Title from the distillers, Beat Your Heart Out, Just Because. 1. The first time it happens, it's about 20 minutes after they get together. Steve is sprawled on Eddie's new bed, courtesy of the government after everything almost went to shit again, with Eddie on top of him. Eddie's tongue is in his mouth, and Eddie's hands are doing things to him as he tugs Steve's shirt off past his head, careful with the still-healing scars on Steve's side, and touches him like he can't get enough. "You're so fucking hot. Fuck," Eddie murmurs against Steve's mouth, teeth coming down to clamp around Steve's bottom lip and tucking. Steve whines low in his throat and chases Eddie's mouth, using the grip he has on Eddie's hair to bring him closer. Eddie laughs at Steve's eagerness, and Steve's mouth swallows the sound, drinking it in, wanting more of it. It's been building for months, this thing between them. From fighting side by side in the Upside Down, to saving each other's lives, to becoming restless and anxious if they don't see each other for at least a few hours every day. Robin tells Steve they're codependent, but with the way they're all bonded together by blood and death and shared trauma, Steve doesn't give a shit. He'll take whatever he can get. And he gets Eddie. Steve admits he didn't expect for this to happen tonight, though. It was going to happen at some point, sure, with the way they keep looking at each other without even bothering to hide it, and always find excuses to be in each other's space. But everyone has their breaking point, and Eddie's is watching Steve swing his nail bed around while threatening to kneecap Jason Carver if the piece of shit won't leave them all the hell alone. "They all have the things that get them going," Steve thinks. He's not about to get upset that him being protective and a little violent does it for Eddie. Not when it means Eddie shoving Steve into his car after Jason runs off, driving to his place, and dragging Steve behind him until they're up in his bedroom. The kiss that follows is not something Steve will ever forget. And now they're here. Half naked and rutting against each other, the desperation so thick between them that Steve almost chokes with it. He gets enough brain cells together to sneak a hand between them and around Eddie's belt, doing his best to unbuckle it while keeping his mouth pressed to Eddie's, kissing him on and on and on because he can't get enough. He'll never get enough. "Want some help?" Eddie grins, forehead bumping against Steve's when he ducks his head to stare down at Steve's hand. "That'd be good, yeah," Steve snarks back, and bites at Eddie's chin to make his displeasure known. He's rewarded by a low growl coming from Eddie, and soon enough they're both without their jeans and underwear and pressed together from mouth to toes, hot naked skin against hot naked skin. "Yeah, that's it." Eddie pulls back from kissing him with a slick sound, so he can mouth at Steve's jaw and down the column of his neck, pausing to suck a bruise right over Steve's pulse point. Steve aches with the pleasure pain that gives him, and he brings one hand down from gripping Eddie's hair so he can wrap it around both of their cocks instead. The sound Eddie makes when Steve touches him is like a punch to the gut. It weaves itself around Steve's heart and makes a home inside his chest, hot and tight, to never be forgotten. Steve chases that sound again and again, hand working them both until Eddie bites at his collarbone and tips over the edge. Steve follows a second later, undone and happy about it, and takes Eddie's weight when Eddie slumps down on top of him. They're sticky and sweaty and panting, glued together like they're meant to be, and Steve wants this forever. Not to be possessive, Steve starts with a soft whimper, mouth shaping the words right against Eddie's temple. But you're mine now, right? Eddie lifts his head up so he can stare down at Steve, eyes dark and skin still flushed, and his swollen mouth curls up into a smile. To be possessive, he says, and grins when Steve smiles at him. Yes, and you're mine. The next morning, after Eddie's kissed him awake and made them both come in the shower, Steve gets dressed and makes sure the collar of his shirt hides the mouth-shaped marks littering his neck. Two. The second time it happens, they're at some party hosted by one of Robin's bandmates or something. One thing Steve's learned during his year of being best friends with Robin is that band geeks know how to party hard. Steve doesn't think he's ever seen this many drunk and high people in one room together, dancing and singing and generally having the times of their lives. It's not that different from the parties Steve used to throw, aside from the fact that he doesn't have to put on a performance for people he doesn't like. Another thing about band geeks? They're all freaks and don't give two shits what anyone else does. Steve takes advantage of that, crowding close to Eddie in a dark corner of the living room, feeling the heat of his body and tasting the alcohol on his tongue. Eddie holds him tight with a hand on his hip and the other on the back of his neck. Steve loves it. Steve loves him. He tells Eddie as much, words falling from his mouth right into Eddie's, and he can feel the shape of Eddie's smile pressed against his lips. Right back at you, love, Eddie says, nuzzling his nose against Steve's own. They stay pressed together like that, lost in their own little worlds, until Eddie says he needs another drink. They're halfway to the kitchen, squeezing past the crowd of bodies, when one band kid or another catches sight of Eddie and signals for him. Eddie squeezes Steve's hand and tilts his head to the side. Meet you there? Steve nods and lets go of Eddie's hand. He catches sight of Robin wrapped around Vicky on his way, and he is still smiling when he gets to the kitchen and goes to pour himself and Eddie another drink. Focused on his task, Steve doesn't notice the girl approaching him. He only half recognizes her from having to drive Robin to Arkansas's many pep rallies, and maybe from coming around family video a few times. He's polite to her when she starts talking to him, like he is to everyone, while his eyes keep falling back to the kitchen door in search of Eddie. When he feels her hand on his forearm, he tenses. So, the girl says, Steve doesn't know her name, wasn't paying attention, doesn't care, and leans into his space. Maybe we could do something together? Eddie comes sweeping into the kitchen at that very moment. Steve's knight in shiny armor, wrapped up in ripped jeans and a leather jacket, with his rings and sharp tongue as weapons. He stares at the hand on Steve's forearm, and the emotion that flashes across his gaze makes Steve's heart skip a beat. Steve, Eddie walks up to him, right to him, and grabs Steve's arm right above where the girl is touching him. Let's go. Steve goes without bothering to look back or apologize. He lets Eddie drag him through the crowd and up the stairs and through the long hallway until he finds a door to a room that isn't locked and shoves Steve inside. Steve goes, helpless to do anything but, and laughs when Eddie grabs him by the shoulders and pushes him up against the wall. Jealous? Steve teases. He knows he's playing with fire, but he never said he was smart. Eddie answers by catching him in a bruising kiss, all teeth and tongue, and staking his claim. And all Steve can do is moan low in his throat and hold on and kiss him back. Eddie only breaks the kiss after Steve slides a hand down under his shirt and digs his nails into his back. Wanting more of it, desperate for it, to be consumed and pulled apart and put together again by Eddie's hands. Other people don't get to touch you like that. Eddie cups Steve's cheek with one hand and brushes the thumb against the corner of his mouth. Not anymore. Not when you're with me. Steve turns his head so he can bite Eddie's finger. A silent but sharp reminder that he doesn't want anyone else to touch him. Show me, he challenges, knowing Eddie will go above and beyond the call. And he does, dropping to his knees right then and there, while Steve's still leaning against the wall. Quick fingers work the button and zipper of Steve's pants and pull it down before hooking under the waistband of Steve's underwear. Steve gasps at the hot, wet heat of Eddie's mouth around his cock. He fists a hand in Eddie's hair, while the other curls against his own thigh, digging in, and he loses himself in the pleasure Eddie wrings from him with his tongue and hands and lips. Steve tries to warn him, always polite. And Eddie ignores him, always eager to get a taste of him. When he comes, it is to Eddie's name spilling out of him, and Eddie's sure hand tight on his cock. Steve still whines when Eddie pulls back, and then bites back a moan as he watches Eddie lick his lips and wipe the back of his hand across his face. His cheeks are flushed, and his eyes are dark, and his mouth is a ruined mess. He grins up at Steve, and then leans in again, mouth attaching itself to the cut of Steve's hip. And he sucks a hickey right then and there before getting up and pulling Steve into a kiss. Steve chases the taste of himself on Eddie before he's the one twisting them around, shoving Eddie against the wall and getting on his knees so he can put his mouth to good use. 20 minutes later, after they're spent and looking marginally less fucked out, they go back downstairs so they can enjoy the rest of the party. And every time Steve raises his arms to wrap them around Eddie's shoulder or high-five Robin, he makes sure his shirt still covers the bruise on his hip. Three. The third time it happens, Skull Rock looms over them. I don't miss this place, Steve comments as he looks around. Flashes of kisses and warm bodies, and Eddie crossing his mind. It seems he's not the only one. Skull Rock lies abandoned in the woods, lost to the past and forgotten after all the shit they've been through. Makeout spots attached to the brutal murder of teenagers, in one way or another, aren't exactly a prime choice for the teenage population of Hawkins. Steve would try to make a joke about his declining popularity and reputation as well, if he gave a shit about it anymore. He doesn't. At all. Don't you? Eddie asks with a raised eyebrow. His hands are already on Steve's sides, right on top of his scars. Eddie knows. And Steve knows he knows. Like there's some sort of twisted touchstone for both of them. This happened, and we lived through it, and fuck everything else. This is where you got half your reputation. Steve's hands find their way to his favorite spot, around the curve of Eddie's neck, with his fingers tangled through the messy curls at the back of it, and he pulls Eddie close. This is also where things sort of really went to shit, so... The smile Eddie gives him is equal parts brittle and sardonic. He still kisses Steve, quick and a little biting, before he pulls back and says,
I think it worked out for us.
Almost didn't, Steve whispers against the line of Eddie's jaw, letting his teeth scrape over it before he brushes a kiss to the same spot. He presses his body closer to Eddie and wishes it was possible for him to carve out a space inside Eddie's body and crawl into it so he'd never have to leave. None of that, sweetheart, Eddie murmurs and tightens his grip on Steve's hips. Steve doesn't feel much beyond the pressure of it due to the scars, but it's grounding just the same.
I have an idea.
Steve stares into Eddie's brown and sparkling eyes and falls all over again.
What is it?
When Eddie grins at him this time, it is with the full force of the gremlin Steve is sure lives inside him, always waiting to wreak havoc.
We could make new memories.
Steve blinks once at him, and then grins back, just as sharp.
I'm in.
As it is with them, there's never been a moment Steve stayed behind whenever Eddie asked him to follow. Steve laughs into Eddie's open mouth when Eddie kisses him, and lets Eddie crown him against one of the rocks.
There'll be no surviving this without scrapes and bruises.
But Steve doesn't mind those much when they're related to Eddie. Fuck! Steve gasps when Eddie sticks a ring-free hand under the waistband of his pants and cups him through his underwear.
He's half hard already, easy as that, and knows he won't last long. This isn't the first time they've done this in public, and it always sends a bolt of heat right through Steve's gut.
Later, baby, Eddie promises, with his mouth kissing a path down Steve's neck and pulling at his collar with a finger.
Now I'll make you feel good, just like this.
Steve whines in the back of his throat and pushes against Eddie's hand when it finally slips inside his underwear and wraps around his dick. Eddie knows just how to touch him to drive him up the fucking wall, and Steve is, as usual, helpless to resist. Not that he tries. Not that he ever tries. Steve will gladly put himself and his life in Eddie's hands without thinking twice about it. He's done it before without terrible consequences, and knows Eddie would rip the world and people apart with his bare hands if it meant keeping them both safe. Steve feels the exact same way. The sharp sting of Eddie's teeth against his collarbone before he sucks a mark there makes Steve let out a drawn-out groan.
What are you thinking about?
Eddie asks him in a low and rumbly tone that makes Steve's stomach flip.
A homicide,
Steve answers with a grunt that turns into a whimper when Eddie's thumb swipes over the head of his cock.
Oh?
Eddie chuckles and sucks another bruise into Steve's skin. Steve tugs at Eddie's hair so Eddie will look up at him and almost finds himself undone at the mix of mirth and love and hunger behind Eddie's eyes.
I'd kill anyone who tried to hurt you again,
he says, and that sits like a vow between them.
Eddie's eyes flash, and his grin is full of teeth,
but he's sweet when he kisses Steve.
How romantic,
he murmurs, punctuating those words by giving Steve's cock a slow stroke.
I would too, for you.
Steve doesn't say anything else. He just pulls Eddie into another kiss and loses himself in the feeling of Eddie's mouth and hand until he tips over the edge. And then he's the one pushing Eddie against the rock and getting on his knees and using his mouth until Eddie comes. When they finally climb back into his car, sticky and sated, Steve looks at himself in the rearview mirror and makes sure the collar of his shirt hides the hickeys framing his collarbones. So,
Eddie asks him as they drive off. Are those better memories?
Steve glances at Eddie, sitting sideways in the passenger seat, with one leg up and his body turned to Steve's. Something settles deep inside Steve's chest at the sight and makes a home around his heart.
Yeah, Steve replies, and takes a hand off the steering wheel so he can reach out and rest it on top of Eddie's knee.
They are.
Four.
The fourth time it happens, the heavy sounds of Metallica's Master of Puppets blast through and fill the venue they're in. Steve stopped feeling out of place at metal shows after the fifth one he went to, but it helps that the ripped jeans, faded black shirt, and vest he's wearing belong to Eddie. It's like being wrapped in a hug, safe, despite it obviously being armor. Watching Eddie in his element will never not be a beautiful sight to Steve. There's something about him filled with this much energy, with flushed cheeks and bright eyes, that hits home to Steve how much of a presence Eddie is. And not just to Steve and in his life, but out in the world and to other people as well. Eddie always makes about 20 different friends at concerts, quick to shake hands and worm his way into conversations and make people laugh. Steve just follows along from group to group, content to be in Eddie's orbit and stepping in with an arm thrown around Eddie's shoulders and a friendly laugh whenever someone gets too close. That's not something he has to worry about now, though. Eddie's eyes are glued to the stage as he shouts along to the lyrics, one arm raised up above his head, but he snaps his head towards Steve when Steve's voice joins in with the crowd. Steve fights off a smirk at the hint of surprise that makes itself known across Eddie's wide eyes. Steve did his research for this. He bought a cassette and listened to it on repeat for a week, whenever he was alone, so he could memorize the lyrics. Eddie tugs on the hand Steve has resting over his shoulder. The grin on his face is as happy as Steve's ever seen. He doesn't say anything, just raises his eyebrows in question, and then laughs when Steve winks at him. Proud of himself and his sneaky ways, Steve watches as Eddie turns his head and tugs at Steve's hand again. Eddie's mouth finds the soft skin on the inside of Steve's wrist, and his teeth come down on it right before he sucks a hickey over Steve's pulse point. Steve bites down on the inside of his lips so he won't make a sound. Not that anyone would hear it. Eddie is the one who looks pretty proud of himself when he lets go of Steve's hand and shuffles closer to him, his attention going back to the stage as he starts singing again. Over the next few days, Steve makes sure to wear his watch on his right wrist to hide the teeth marks and purple bruise that lives there. Five. The fifth time it happens, they wake up from a nightmare. Steve doesn't know which of them ends up trapped in the sea of shitty and terrifying memories, but he wakes up with his heart in his throat and the taste of blood in his mouth. Eddie, breathing like he's run a marathon, has one hand around the back of Steve's neck and the other pressed flat to Steve's chest. It's not uncommon for them to have nightmares. What they've been through has a way of sticking around past its welcome, tattooed into their bones and memories. The body has a way of remembering, even when they wish it would forget. And so, some nights, the terror claws its way through their dreams and takes hold of them, until they wake up gasping and screaming and not knowing where they are. They deal with it by staying close. Sleepovers at each other's places when there's no one around, and in Eddie's van parked in the woods when there are. They curl around each other and hold on tight, forehead to forehead, and breathe each other in until they fall asleep. Now they stare at each other,
eyes wide with fear, until Steve's breath hitches inside his chest. The hand on the back of Steve's neck tightens and pulls him in, and the kiss that he gives him is more out of reassurance that they're both here, they made it, they're alive, than it is for anything else. Steve kisses back just as desperately as his heart skips a beat, and then starts up all over again. He gets his arms around Eddie and tugs until he falls backward on the bed with Eddie on top of him. "We're here," Steve says in between kisses, as his hands touch Eddie wherever he can reach. His sides, his back, his arms, his face. "We're here, baby, we're here." Eddie nods and sucks in a shaky breath, knocking his forehead against Steve's temple once before nuzzling in close. "We're here," he repeats, and slides his hand from the back of Steve's neck to cup his cheek. "You're with me." "Always," Steve murmurs, with a soft brush of lips to Eddie's mouth. Eddie breathes out. "And I'm with you." "Wouldn't let you be anywhere else, Eddie," Steve says, and digs his nails into Eddie's back to seal his promise. Eddie groans low in his throat and ducks his head to kiss Steve. It's not as frantic as the one that started their middle-of-the-night heart-to-heart, with Eddie licking past the seam of Steve's lips while his thumb traces the edge of his jaw. But it leads somewhere just the same. There are very few things in this world Steve enjoys more than Eddie inside of him. He gasps into Eddie's mouth when Eddie fucks into him. Slow and deep and just how Steve likes. Heat building in his gut as he arches his back and meets Eddie's thrusts. It takes no time at all for him to come when Eddie gets a hand around him and his teeth on Steve's shoulder, his orgasm crashing through him as he tips over the edge. Eddie follows right behind when Steve clenches tight around him and scratches at his back, the pleasure pain of it all making him bite down and leave his own mark on Steve's skin. Steve cuddles close to Eddie after they're both cleaned up and in their boxers again, loose-limbed and sleepy, and drops a kiss to the corner of Eddie's mouth when Eddie wraps his arms around him. "Okay?" "Never better, honey," Eddie says, voice low and heavy. He still turns his head so he can catch Steve's lips into a kiss before they both give in and fall asleep again. The next morning, as Steve gets ready for work, he makes sure to put on a shirt that keeps the teeth marks on his shoulder hidden from view. End 1. The first time it happens, it's because of the guitar. Eddie still carries his sweetheart around in the back of his van. He can't bring himself not to. Not when it saved them. Not when it gave them time to run. Not when having it near makes the tight band of fear around his heart loosen a little. It doesn't mean he plays it. It's kind of hard for Eddie to unattach traumatic memories from rocking out these days. Sometimes he'll find himself strumming on his guitar for a minute or two, before his hands start to shake and flashes back to being back in the upside down again, sure he was going to die, sure none of them were going to make it. It fucking sucks, if Eddie's being honest. He loves playing. He loves making music and loves listening to it. Loves the weight of his guitar against his hands and the feel of the strings against the pads of his fingers. His guitar has always felt like an extended part of himself. And this fucking disconnect he feels with it now makes his skin itch and stomach churn. So Eddie has to fix it. He needs to get his shit together. He needs to be able to play again. He needs to know he's safe while doing so. So Eddie goes to Steve. He always goes to Steve when he needs something, someone, to pull him back to reality and ground him. Steve's gaze and hands and love for Eddie keep him sane and safe and himself. Maybe that's not the healthiest way to form a relationship with someone, but fuck it. It works for them. Steve welcomes Eddie to his house, like he always does, with a hand gripping the front of Eddie's shirt and pulling him inside, and his mouth finding Eddie's 2 seconds after he closes the door. Eddie kisses him back, one hand coming up to Steve's cheek, until he feels Steve melting against him. "Hi, baby," Eddie murmurs against Steve's mouth. "Hey," Steve breathes out. His hands are on Eddie's shoulders, and he tugs at the guitar strap with a finger. "You're playing?" "Thought I could give it a try," Eddie answers. Steve knows about his new and complicated relationship with his guitar, and he stares at Eddie with understanding in his eyes. "New memories and all of that. That okay?" Steve smiles at him and kisses him again, soft and sweet. "So okay. Come on up." Steve's room is as familiar to Eddie as his own now, and he doesn't hesitate to take a seat on Steve's desk chair, while Steve flops down on his bed, eyes never leaving Eddie. Eddie takes a deep breath and props his guitar on his knee. His fingers feel clumsy when he moves them over the strings, and he curses softly under his breath. "God, I fucking suck," Eddie mutters. He runs a hand through his hair before trying again. "Hey," Steve calls him. He's sitting on the bed with his legs crisscrossed, and he leans forward so he can catch Eddie's eyes. "New memories. Like Skull Rock." Eddie stares at Steve and motions for him to come closer with a finger. Steve obliges with a confused look on his face until Eddie gets a hand on his cheek and kisses him. "New memories," Eddie agrees, and goes back to guitar. Something settles deep inside his chest when he starts playing again. It's a mindless tune, just a few senseless chords struck together, but the tension leaves his body just the same. He can still feel the soft plush of Steve's lips against his own, and there's no mistaking the weight of Steve's gaze right now as he watches Eddie play. It feels right. This feels right. Eddie knows there's a smile forming on his face when he starts strumming the first few chords of A Corroded Coffin Song or Another. It's slower than his usual stuff, but it fits Eddie's mood right now. He laughs a little under his breath and then looks up at Steve, only for the smile to slip off his face. Steve stares back at him with such intensity and hunger that Eddie feels like prey caught in a trap. He only has time to pull the strap off his shoulder and lay his guitar down before Steve is climbing over his lap, the chair creaking under their combined weight. And then Steve's hands are in his hair and Steve's mouth is pressing against his. Eddie hums into the kiss as his hands come around Steve's hips, holding him tight and close. "You look so fucking hot when you play. Fuck," Steve mumbles against Eddie's skin as he mouths and kisses his way down Eddie's neck. Eddie laughs and ducks his head so he can kiss Steve again. "Yeah? Fuck yeah," Steve answers, nudging Eddie's chin up with his nose so he can mouth at Eddie's pulse point. "I love it. I love you. I love you too," Eddie says with a hiss, when Steve bites at his neck and sucks a mark into his skin. "Fuck, come on. Bed, bed, bed." Steve grins when Eddie grabs him by the back of his legs and picks him up, his arms coming around Eddie's shoulders and holding on. And then he laughs when Eddie throws him on the mattress and jumps in after him. He isn't laughing anymore when Eddie presses inside of him, But he is still the most beautiful person Eddie's ever seen. A few hours later, when they're out to grab dinner and catch a movie, Eddie makes no attempt to hide the hickey on his neck. The end. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded for Greedy Dancer as a treat for ITPE 2023. Because you asked for Steve, Eddie, and porn, and I didn't quite know if I could find, like, the thing that fit the right, but, like, this is not overtly sexy, but oh my god, it's fucking hot. I'm sorry. I guess I have a bruise thing. I have a hickey thing. I have a leaving marks and reciprocal possessiveness thing, and I'm hoping you do, too. In hindsight, perhaps I should have checked which types of porn you were asking for. Anyway, thank you to Wearing Tearing for having the same vibes I do, and for having blanket permission to podfic. So, Greedy Dancer, I hope you enjoyed this. Everyone else who's listening, I hope you enjoyed it too. As much as Eddie enjoys leaving marks on Steve. Yeah, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.